Lamplight Audiobooks presents Ike and Kay by James McManus, narrated by Sophie Aldred. For Emily, Elizabeth and Nicholas. 1. May 1942. They had waited 3 days for the train, stamping their feet against the cold on the platform at Euston Station, peering into the fog that descended on London like a shroud. You could hardly tell the difference between night and day in the blanket of grey vapour that slowed traffic to a crawl, stifled sound, and left pedestrians groping their way along streets like the blind. Charles Dickens would have known this fog, she thought. London particulars, he called those days, when the miasma rolled up the Thames from the Essex marshes and slithered into the city, clinging to buildings, drifting like smoke through open doors or windows, clutching at people with slimy hands as they stumbled through the murk. She slapped her gloved hands together, tightened the Sam Brown belt around her official-issue khaki overcoat, and looked at her watch. It was 6:45 a.m. 3 times now they had been ordered out of their beds in the pre-dawn darkness to meet the distinguished American visitors on a train that never arrived. The other drivers, including her good friend Charlotte Montague, had gone into the station for a cup of tea. It was against orders to leave their official cars, which were parked neatly in a row outside the station. But the train was finally due in 15 minutes, and in the fog, no one could see whether the drivers were with their cars or not. The Americans hadn't wanted to take the train. They had waited impatiently at Prestwick Airport in Scotland for the weather to clear. Only reluctantly had they been persuaded to take the overnight sleeper from Glasgow. She found the girls happily seated with their tea in the warmth of the crowded cafe. They waved to her and shifted up the wooden bench to make room. Kay always called them girls, but in fact they were mostly women in their late 20s who had wearied of clerical or nursing work and wanted to do something more interesting. Kay was conscious that she was the eldest at 33, not that it made any difference. They were a cheerful lot, she thought, and they had every reason to be. They had been assigned 3- and 4-star generals, the most senior commanders in the growing American military presence in London. The newspapers had treated the generals like film stars and carried long, admiring profiles. General George Marshall and General Hap Arnold were the favourites, and fan letters had already begun to arrive at the American Embassy in Grosvenor Square. It was May 1942, 5 months after Pearl Harbor.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?